switch to Mellow Dry, and you'll be switching for good. If you like your beer both dry and mellow, be sure you pick the label that's yellow. Yes, try Mellow Dry, the good beer.
Mellow Dry.
That's my kind of dry.
The Mellow Dry beer is crank and low.
The Fetzer Broadcasting Company presents now Foreign Report, an intimate, authoritative survey of conditions in nations of Europe and the Middle East on our side of the Iron Curtain. The reports and recorded interviews which you hear on these programs were gathered during a recent tour of these countries by a party of United States radio and press executives. One of this group was Mr. John E. Fetzer, president and general manager of the Fetzer Broadcasting Company. Here is your commentator for Foreign Report, the advisor on public affairs to the Fetzer Broadcasting Company, Dr. Willis Dunbar.
Good evening. During the last few programs in this series, we have heard a great deal about the Jewish side in the conflict of the Middle East between Jew and Arab. The American visitors were able to get some idea of the Arab side of the argument during a brief stay in the little Arab state of Transjordan. Tonight, we bring you three interviews to illustrate the Arab viewpoint. When the Jews took over Palestine and started to bring in Jewish refugees from all parts of the world, Israel, or Palestine as it was called then, was inhabited by Arab peoples. Since the new state of Israel has come into being, some 850,000 Arabs have left that country. They have gone to other Arab lands and are known as the Arab refugees. The American editors saw a refugee camp in Transjordan. Located on a desolate hillside, the camp consisted of tents and crude huts. We are informed that the Arab refugees appeared ragged and altogether wretched. Now, the United Nations pays $1.50 per day per person to support these refugees. But it is hard to believe, according to those who saw that camp, where this money is going. Our visitors felt that somehow the refugees are definitely not getting the full benefit of these funds. While in the middle of the camp, our reporter, Tim Elliott, had an interview with quite an important official, the governor of Bethlehem, near which this camp is situated. After a few moments, the governor just walked unceremoniously away. Here's a recording of the brief interview.
Mr. Governor, how many refugees are in this camp?
4,000 refugees. About 4,000 refugees.
And from where did they come?
From different villages.
In what part of this country?
From different parts of this country.
In other words, but they have come from Jewish-held territories?
Yes.
And how long have they been here?
Since 1948.
I see. And how soon do you think it will be possible to relocate them to some better form of housing?
I will not reply to this question.
I see. Can you tell me what steps the government takes to make their lot a little better than it is?
Well, this is the concern of the higher authorities.
And then he walked away. Our reporter found that some of the Arab officials were just a little bit readier to talk and to explain their views than the governor of Bethlehem. We are now to hear an interview with a district officer of Jerusalem. Under his supervision is a population of about 100,000, and of that 100,000, some 36,000 are refugees. Our reporter, Tim Elliott, first asked this gentleman to define the status of the refugees. In just a moment, we will bring you his answer.
And besides the donation they receive from the United States, which is really from the United Nations, which is indeed insignificant, it amounts only to $1.50. Government shoulders the rest of the responsibility. They look after the medical care, education, resettlement, finding work to these unemployed refugees, and looking after their welfare from all points of view, providing for them land, water, and proper sites for camps.
Well, how do you think the deadlock here in Jerusalem will finally be resolved?
Well, there is the United Nations resolution is that Jerusalem should be an international city. That's, of course, beyond the conception of the Arabs. The Arabs have owned this city for ages, more than 1,000 years. They have their homes in it. They own now the holy part of the city, and they will not yield to anything, to any solution, but that Jerusalem should be an Arab city.
Well, if I understand it correctly, then the United Nations proposed solution is neither acceptable to the Arabs nor to the Jews. Is that correct?
Actually, neither accepted to both.
I see. Would you give me your view of the American position over here?
We believe that America has the key of Palestine. I mean by that, she is the power that can solve the Palestine question, the dispute between the Arabs and the Jews. We Arabs believe here that the Jewish successes in Palestine was due to the American pressure. And we feel that we have been treated unjustly, unfairly by the Americans. And to my belief that America should now adjust her wrong that have done to the Palestine Arabs, that rendered half of them as refugees.
And in what manner could we, in what tangible manner could we adjust what you describe as a wrong?
The United Nations have decided that partition scheme is a solution that should be implemented between the Arabs and the Jews. And this is the least that we ask now for the present. That the United Nations resolution as far as partition is concerned should be implemented immediately. That
we will bring you another interview with an Arab leader after a brief pause. While we are preparing this third recording, here is your reporter with a summary of the latest news developments.
The government and the steel industry both have taken their arguments over a pay raise to the Supreme Court. The industry took the first step, a request that the court ban any wage boost until there's a ruling on whether the government had the right to seize the steel mills. And directly afterward, the Justice Department filed its reply. The government said the steel workers are going back to their jobs, but it warned there is danger of a new steel strike should the court bar a pay raise. A well-informed source says that Union President Philip Murray received assurances of a pay raise for his men before he agreed to call off the steel strike. It said the promise holds good if no contract with the industry is reached in the negotiations starting tomorrow in the White House. Murray and the heads of the nation's biggest six steel firms agreed to President Truman's request for the meetings. The steelworkers reacted with varying attitudes today as they headed back for work after 3 days on strike. Some cheered, others voiced bitterness at the lack of a settlement and the on-again, off-again steel situation. Well, there's no sign of a break either way in the nationwide oil strike. Tonight, there was evidence that the Air Force is concerned about the fuel situation. The Air Force said in Washington that it had issued orders to cut down on flying activity outside the Korean theater because of the oil strike. Plant shutdowns are increasing. The 22 AFL, CIO, and independent unions ordered additional picket lines today in their battle for wage increases. Lieutenant Vern Goodwin is said to have been offered a chance to resign from the Air Force. He recently was sentenced to 2 years at hard labor for refusing to fly. And General Eisenhower discussed West European defense today with West German Chancellor Adenauer. But as they conferred, the Allies informed the Germans they've gone as far as they can to get cooperation. One officer said, "We have made over 100 concessions to the German point of view in the past 6 months, and we cannot make any more." There's no use speculating over the status of the Korean truce talks, but one sign has emerged that the Reds may have made a counter-offer to the Allied compromise proposal they rejected last night. The UN spokesman, Brigadier General William Knuckles, told newsmen he wanted to correct any false impression that only the Allied proposal was discussed in the secret meeting. Both sides meet again tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The Defense Department has identified 7 more battle casualties. The new list reports 2 killed and 5 wounded. And at Seoul, Korea, the Navy released details on an artillery duel between 2 U.S. destroyers and Red Shore guns in Wonsan Harbor. The Navy called it the longest such duel of the Korean War. Both destroyers were hit, but damage was small. Well, Britain's new jet airliner, the Comet, flew the 900 miles from London to Rome today in 2 hours, 34 minutes in its commercial debut. Its captain described the performance as pretty good, but rather disappointing. And those are the latest developments.
Our next Transjordan interview is with a member of the parliament of that country. I think you will agree that what he says is of considerable significance to us Americans.
My name is Anwar Khatib of Jerusalem.
And you are an official of the government. In what position?
I am at the moment a member of the parliament representing Jerusalem.
I'm very much interested in hearing your opinion of how this refugee problem that we've been acquainted with today can be solved.
My very humble opinion, the refugees' problem can't be solved without sending them there back to their homes. Sending them back to their homes, which they are entitled to either by their right or by the United Nations resolutions of 1947.
Now, if I understand correctly, all of their homes are in territory that is now held by the Jews. Is that correct?
Well, this is not right. I mean, if the international resolution of 1947 is going to be enforced, most of the refugees will go back to their homes. But at the present moment, not a single refugee will be settled out of his original home.
I see. I have one final question for you. Would you give me your view of the American position over here, please?
Well, I'm sorry to say that the American official opinion has done a lot of harm things to the Arab cause in the Near East, and especially in Palestine. And we have a great difference between the American official opinion and the American public opinion. And we are expecting the day that the American conscience will one day understand what our difficulties are and study what our difficulties, and then they will find a very good solution for our position. So may I say that America, in helping Israel and in order to find houses for 100,000 Jews they have expelled and made homeless about 1 million Arabs.
You mentioned a difference between American official opinion and American public opinion. Could you elaborate on that point, please?
Yes, because I understood from so many Americans who I met, either in Jerusalem or outside, that American public opinion is not going to make any harm for the Arabs. But the American official, which has a different view, had done a lot of harms to the Arabs. So the American official opinion, which is represented by the Mr. President, in my opinion, does not represent the American official opinion, which we know from many circumstances that Americans are pro-justice and pro-fair causes.
And that concludes our reports and interviews from the Middle East. On Monday evening, we hear from the United States Radio and Press Party as it arrives in Rome, Italy, where it flew from Tel Aviv.
You have been listening to Foreign Report, one of a series of broadcasts which bring to our listeners first-hand reports and interviews from the countries of Europe and the Middle East on our side of the Iron Curtain. The next Foreign Report will be heard over this station next Monday evening at 6:45. This has been another program presented in the public interest by the Fetzer Broadcasting Company.